Jason Longshore, by the way. Hi, Jason.
What up,
Hola.
Jay?
What up?
Sorry for getting sidetracked. Jason Longshore brought to you by Heineken 0.0. Great taste. Zero alcohol. How are you today, man?
I'm good. Good after a win. It's always better after a win, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we talked a lot about the game against New England and what it meant and what it needed to be. Pretty much was all those things.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You knew what you were going to be facing against New England. They didn't do anything to surprise you. They played direct. They played over the top. They didn't try to string passes together. They threw bodies forward, and Atlanta had the perfect game plan to go in and handle that. And also hit New England on the break. It could have been 4 or 5 nothing.
Yes. It should have been, too. And,
yeah.
we talked to Mike Constantine earlier this week, and I was curious to get your opinion on it also about this whole Joseph thing. Is he being asked to do too much? I'm starting to walk with Mike on it. Maybe it's something new for him, not too much, but just something new. In your opinion, what is it?
Yeah, I heard you earlier this week. You didn't like that so much, did you?
No, because he a striker, but Jay, I need goals. I know he won't score 30-some goals again. I get all that. But I need him scoring goals, man. Just stay down in 18 right there.
Yeah,
just chill out.
But the game's heading a different way. Like, your strikers have to do more now. You're not able
in
to
a year,
just...
Mike? In a year, Mike?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Jason, in a year?
Yeah, you have to be able to adjust. And I thought Joseph nailed it in the interview you guys were talking about earlier with Felipe Cardenas over at The Athletic, where defenders are playing him differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, 1 year with what he did in 2017 – okay, let's see if he can do it again in 2018. Then he did what he did last year, which nobody had ever done before in league history, and defenders are saying, all right, we have to account for him. We have to make sure that he doesn't see the ball in the 18. So he's got to move around a little bit more and get involved. I think the goal that was scored by him in CONCACAF against Monterrey is the blueprint for the types of goals you want to see more of. More of that combination play outside the 18 to get him inside the 18.
Because we talked about this with a lot of athletes, but we've talked about it ad nauseum with Vic Beasley. With he did one thing really, really well 1 year when he led the league in a category. And then the league kind of figured out what he did really, really well, and they've adjusted to it. You got to continue to evolve as a player, especially if you're going to be a great player. Like, I'm with you, Randy. I want him to score as many goals as possible.
He got spoiled.
But the thing we did. We got spoiled. But what I like about what he's doing now is – he can do a lot of other stuff.
Yep.
And we've seen it in bits and pieces over the last couple of years where he'd make a play or make a pass or do something really, really technically creative that maybe not every striker could do. I like seeing him do it, man. He's got a very versatile skill set.
Yeah, he created 4 chances for others in this match. That's probably his record in an Atlanta United kit. He's a good passer. I mean, it's a part of his game that we haven't seen a ton of, but that's the thing. If he's going to get touches close to midfield, 30, 40 yards from goal, defenders have a really difficult decision. Are they going to give him those touches to where then he can hit a through ball and kill you? Or are you going to step out to him and create more space?
What I also wonder, because I'm not trying to take anything away from what Joseph did last year, but I think it's fair to say that a lot of the success that he and the attack had in general was because of Miguel Almiron. Miguel Almiron's gone, so not only does the attack have to change, but Joseph probably has to change a little bit too. So do you think that what he's doing this year is more of an adaptation to what a striker is being asked to do now, like you said, or more of an adaptation to doing what he's being asked to do in this attack because there's no Miguel Almiron?
It's probably a little of both. I mean, you look at what Frank de Boer did at Ajax, his time there, and you know, a lot of people talked about what Ajax did yesterday going to Juventus. The seeds for that were planted with De Boer coming into Ajax and winning 4 titles in a row, something no one's ever done at that club. He wants to get everybody involved. He wants to get lots of touches for all of his players. That's a hallmark of his teams. So I think that would have happened anyway.
Mm.
But the Miguel Almiron loss, it does change things a bit because that did force teams to not be able to commit numbers to Joseph. They had to worry about Miguel breaking the lines. Now you don't have that threat as much, so you can commit 1-2 guys to Joseph.
When a guy that me and you both like, George Bello, when he comes back, how different will this team be as far as the attack, the defensive? What will he bring that is not there now?
You know, the thing is, I think we're going to see different approaches in different matches. And that's something that we haven't seen as much of under Tata Martino. Let's go back to Saturday real quick. Mm-hmm. So you're playing a New England team that every time their defenders get the ball in their own half, they're not looking to build up play like we see Atlanta do. They're looking to play it long and play in the other half. That's it. They don't want any touches. Their defenders lead the league in long passes. Mm-hmm. So you can't have, in that game, a George Bello would look very different because he's got to sit back. Because you know every ball's going over your head if you're making runs down the wing. You've got to sit back and have the ball in front of you. Breck Shea did a great job of that. There's going to be games, though, and I think this is one this weekend with Dallas, who they want to play out of the back. They want to combine. They want to hold possession. That's where you can get up and press them a little bit. A guy like Bello would be really useful here. He gives you more tools when you have him. I think he's a more impactful player overall than Breck Shea is. Breck Shea did a really good job on Saturday night for what he had to do. Bello can break things open a little more.
One more question for you. Parkhurst, will we see him more playing that right back position?
We'll see it at times. Right now with Escobar not 90 minutes, you know, it made sense in this one. And again, you're not asking your right back to bomb up and down the wing against New England. You want him to stay at home. It gave you basically another center back. But the thing about Parkey that's so effective for this team is he's such a smart player.
Right.
He knows when he has those opportunities to step up and keep possession going and create attacks, but not get exposed.
Jason Longshore joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you by Heineken 0.0, great taste, zero alcohol. Jason, as we look ahead to this weekend's game, I think one of the things that we liked the best or made us most comfortable with how good Atlanta United was last year was when we really started to see them have the ability to win in different ways. Whatever the tactic of the team you're playing against is throwing at you, you could adjust to that. All right, we can play in tighter space. If they're bunkering, we have answers for that. And we saw how they looked against New England, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to see from last weekend to this weekend, though, to continue that confidence building and start to get back to believing that they can win in different ways?
It's two different games. I mean, this is such a different task at hand on Saturday because you're facing a Dallas team that wants the ball. They're going to build up possession out of the back. It doesn't matter if you're pressing them or not. They're not going to do what New England did. They're going to try to keep it and play out of it. So you have to make a decision. Do you want to sit a little bit deeper and let them build up attacks and make sure you're secure defensively? Or do you want to step up and press them and cause mistakes? Dallas has been pretty good this year, and they're very fluid. And that's the thing that's a little difficult about Dallas is players change positions a lot. Inside players, central midfielders move out wide. Wingers cut inside. They're very good at keeping possession and rotating possession. Atlanta's going to have to be better defensively because it's a different task. And when they get those opportunities in transition, I don't think they're going to see as many as they did against New England. They can't be as wasteful because they did leave some goals on the table up in New England.
Yeah, they did. Is Pitti, is he any close to possibly, because he played a little bit in the New England game, possibly being that guy to, you know, play that 90? Will it happen this week? Is he building towards that? I mean, was last week more of a precaution? What was it?
Yeah, it's a little early to tell. I think last week was a combination of a precaution and knowing that, hey, this is a game, even if he's 90 minutes fit, you're not going to get to see the best of him because of the way the game's going to play out. So sit him. Use him if you need to. It's a little early to tell. I think we'll get a better sense. Frank DeBoer speaks to the media tomorrow. We'll know kind of where he's looking at for Pitti in this one. But against a team like Dallas where they do want to possess the ball, Pitti, when he gets the ball in transition against an unbalanced defense, can be really effective.
Why didn't Barco start last weekend, and will he this weekend?
I think it was tactics. Okay. I think you're going into that game, and you know, again, New England's going to bomb it forward. So this was something that we talked about with the U.S. and Trinidad in World Cup qualifying, where the U.S. goes into Trinidad. You know exactly that Trinidad's going to do what New England did. They're going to bomb it forward, play direct. You need two holding midfielders to win the second ball.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arena goes into that game, plays one, and the U.S. struggled. Frank DeBoer goes into this, and he plays two. And he had to sacrifice somebody to play Jeff Lorenowitz and Eric Rometty from the start. He was going to sacrifice one of Gressel, Villalba, Barco, Nagby, and he sat Barco. Now, it had two effects. When Barco comes in, I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, and I think he wants to prove himself. That worked out pretty well. Take that, you know?
I get what you're saying. Hopefully you don't have to not start him every game to get that type of performance.
But again, you had to make that decision here.
Yeah, because you did.
Okay, if you sit Nagby, then Barco is going to be playing as the 10, and he's going to have to do some things, dropping in deeper that maybe isn't in his, you know, his comfort level. If you pull Gressel, if you pull Villalba, you're missing that effect. Somebody has to sit in that regard. And this is something that I think, you know, fans need to understand about the way that DeBoer's going to manage things. It's not going to be a regular 11 in one shape every match this season. Mm-hmm. You're going to see him move the chess pieces around to get the best matchups, and he's also going to adjust to what the opposition's going to do. This game, New England, if you go in with one holding midfielder, Eric Ermedi, as they've played generally, he's going to get overloaded because they're going to play direct, and they're going to start winning those second balls, and they're going to create chances off of it.
We saw how it worked against New England. And again, it's like you said, a very different situation against Dallas. It'll be very fun to see how they adjust and to see what they throw out there this weekend. Would love to see another performance like that for Barco, though.
Yeah, would love to see that. Would love to see his confidence grow. Yeah. And I think he's feeling pretty good about himself these days.
I would think so.
A little bit.
MLS Player of the Week, couple goals.
You know, it's nice.
Hair still blonde. Everything's good.
It's good hair.
Yeah, he's got good hair.
I'm impressed.
He does. All right, good stuff, Jason.
Appreciate it, Jay.
Thanks, y'all.